Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across to Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. We are high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square on this Monday. Turn the calendar page, July 1st, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, now 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We thank you for taking us along with you, wherever you are, on this fine start to a brand new month, a mostly clear day right now, a few clouds in the sky, an absolutely gorgeous George Day yesterday across Wisconsin. Hopefully you got out and enjoyed it. I know I got some time outside yesterday and enjoyed it immensely. Mr. Zommers, did you as well?
Yeah, I got to spend some time. One of my friend's parents' house has a pool, so we got to hang out and
very good.
Go for a little dip.
Awesome. Great day to be in the pool. Newsy day today. Lots of news over the weekend, of course. Folks continuing to talk about the debate last week, the presidential debate, but erasing that from the top of the fold this morning, about an hour and a half ago or so, breaking news out of Washington, D.C. The United States Supreme Court put forth their long-awaited decision on presidential immunity and how specifically it relates to Donald J. Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee, coming up here in a couple of weeks in Milwaukee. Here to sort it out like he always does, to help us understand what went on today, we bring on our friend, our ongoing contributor. He is an attorney, an author, a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, joining us via phone live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which, as it turns out, is a terrific city. Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. How are you, my friend?
Good to be with you. You and Mr. Zommers. It's good to be talking to you, and especially on such a really important news day.
It really is. We appreciate you, as always, Matt, taking the time. I know you and I chatted a little bit over the weekend, and maybe a bit later we'll get into more of the politics going on right now in the country. But I want to start with this breaking news about an hour and a half ago of the United States Supreme Court handing down I know technically the Supreme Court is nonpartisan, but let's just call it what it is, along party lines in a 6-3 decision with all the conservatives in favor of this decision, all of the liberals against it, and some vehemently so. Explain to folks what this decision was or is, and in practical terms, what does it mean?
Well, I'm going to put it real quick in the vernacular, and they betrayed their oath of office, quite frankly, in this decision, and it's a sneaky act of treachery. And why do I say that? Ostensibly, on the surface, it says, well, he's immune for official acts, but for unofficial acts, he's not. And the average person might think, well, that means if the president orders an airstrike against a Syrian base, his successor can't go after him for some sort of criminal act. That isn't at all what they did. They got down in the weeds, and they decided what evidentially could even be shown to Tanya Chutkan on the way down. So if there's any good news in this, is that the indictment and the case were not dismissed. It's going back to Tanya Chutkan. But it's so hobbled. There are four counts pending against Trump right now, and this prohibits Jack Smith and Tanya Chutkan from looking at any of the communications that Trump had with his own Justice Department. And you remember with Jeff Clark, he was going to substitute him, and he told him, tell the Georgia legislature in this letter that they should withdraw the certification. That can't even be put into evidence. Mm-hmm. That can't be put into evidence. Any of his tweets, his public statements, which ended up almost in the assassination of Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi, can't go into evidence even. Now, the business of communications with state officials, for instance, when he talked to the Secretary of State of Georgia and said, come up with 11,000 more votes, presumably that will get in, but the the burden is on Jack Smith. So I could go on and on. I don't want to go on entirely, sure. But on the surface, they said it's just official acts, but then they crippled any attempt of Jack Smith, in my judgment, to introduce evidence to establish the criminality of the unofficial acts.
Of course, Matt, you understand this intimately, being an attorney. You've been in courtrooms at nearly every level across the United States. Did you ever try anything before the actual U.S. Supreme Court?
You know, I didn't. I had two cases. I filed what's called a petition for a writ of certiorari. And what that is, the Supreme Court doesn't have to take hardly any case. The only thing they have to take is if Wisconsin, say, and Michigan dispute the boundary between them, then they got to take that case. But other than that, they don't have to take it. You have to file a petition with a fancy name. I filed them. They get 10,000 or 12,000 a year of those. They take 200, and I didn't get up there.
But the point is, but you've been through at every other level, from federal on down to circuit court. That's my point. Is that you didn't graduate? Right. You didn't throw your cane over the bar at Camp Randall yesterday. You've been in a few courtrooms, and that's what I love about you is that you understand this. So let me put it in kind of Todd terms, if you will. A non-lawyer, and you correct me and keep me honest along the way, Matt. As I look at this, what the U.S. Supreme Court said, both generally and also specifically about Donald Trump, because remember, it was brought about Donald Trump and whether or not he could be held liable in these several federal pending trials and 91 indictments, some federal, some civil, or some federal, some state. But the Supreme Court was looking at this, and what they've basically said in Todd terms is that, generally speaking, a president of the United States, whomever that may be now or in the future or in the past, they can't be held accountable for anything that they do in a quote-unquote official capacity. And that they essentially have free rein as long as they can justify it in an official capacity. It appears in Todd terms that the Supreme Court, the conservatives, try to carve out this niche saying, but that doesn't mean he's a king or she's a queen. Look, if they act in a non-official capacity, if it was something that the everyday layperson could do, then they could be held liable for that. But if it's an act or doing something that not the everyday layperson could do, then they're not held accountable for that. That's number one. Do I have that essentially correct?
Essentially, but let me refine two things. One thing is, as long as he's president or she's president, and they don't turn over the presidency till January 20th after the year they lost, they are presumptively in an official capacity, and they don't have to prove anything. The prosecutor has the burden of proving that what they did, even though it was an official act, was really not an official act. But quite frankly, I mean, they take Ukraine. He said to Zelensky, cook up a fake thing against Biden or you're not getting weapons. That's a criminal act. But the reason Jack Smith didn't bring it is because he was afraid that they would say that was an official act. So the only thing that I'll put out is, let's suppose he ordered somebody in the military to kill someone as an official. That's an official act. He's the president. At some point, would they stop? And so, would they say, come on. Going to go on is it's going to go back to Tanya Chutkan. They accomplished their main goal, which is to protect crooked Donald Trump from anything before the election. They accomplished that by doing that. And secondly, she's going to have a ton of evidentiary hearings on every damn thing. And then she's going to say it's all official and it gets to go up again.
Right.
The same clowns, the same six tarantulas, crooked six tarantulas, will weigh in on it again.
So that's the other part I want to get to, Matt. And so we've looked at the broader part of it, but more specifically to Donald Trump. You have the case in Florida about, keeping top secret documents in his bathroom, for God's sake, and letting people look at it. Then you've got what's going on in Georgia. Find me, so many thousand more votes so I could win. And then you got the case with Jack Smith on January 6th, the little thing called an insurrection that he's trying to hold Trump accountable to. How does this decision relate to each of those three cases?
I'll go over three of them quickly. With regard to Eileen Mercedes Cannon, and the fix is
in Florida. There.
She's a Trump lawyer. Yeah, in Florida, yeah. She's a Mar-a-Lago. She's a Trump lawyer, basically. Mm-hmm. But he will argue that the documents he stole, as he left the White House, he was still president, and he just decided to declassify him, even though he didn't go through the procedure. I'm afraid, to be very honest with you, that this Supreme Court, if it got back up to them, would say, therefore, it was an official act. That's right. Number one. Number two, here's a far worse thing with her. When she ultimately gets to trial, remember something. She can dismiss the case and exonerate him once evidence comes in halfway through, and that's not appealable. Mm-hmm. That's double jeopardy. The fix is in to get him. Now, as far as Atlanta goes, it's a state case, and I think that the call to the state officials, give me 11,000 more votes, mm-hmm. do this, do that, should not be deemed an official act because it's with state officials, not his own Justice Department. But again, you know, you get up to the Supreme Court, and the fix is in. Clarence Thomas has been bribed. I mean, he's been flat-out bribed.
Right.
Alito flew the flag upside down and then lied about his wife. This is not an honest Supreme Court.
And in terms of this decision today relating to Jack Smith and the January 6th, certainly in Todd terms, non-attorney, it appears that, as you said, it's a delay until after the election. And if he is elected again, could he or could he not, Matt, just simply say, we're done with that. I'm ordering my attorney general to drop the charges. He's done.
Right. Oh, he will. If he gets elected, he'll dismiss both Jack Smith cases. He'll dismiss Washington, Mar-a-Lago. He'll dismiss them both. But even if he isn't reelected, he still has this captive Supreme Court. And remember one final thing. Clarence Thomas said in a concurring opinion, Jack Smith may have been illegally appointed.
Right.
And Clarence Thomas said that. Just like in Dobbs, he said, maybe we should go after contraceptives. You haven't heard the last of this sneaky Supreme Court.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think you like this, Matt. Rick Wilson, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, tweeted this a while ago. He said, quote, I'd like to thank the Supreme Court for granting Joe Biden godlike official powers. I think his first step should be to declare all Trump golf courses as protected wildlife, federal wildlife preserves, and seize them by eminent domain. It's an official act, so it's cool, right?
I got a better one. He could declare martial law and arrest Trump and the whole Supreme Court and put him in Guantanamo.
Well,
an official act.
We're going to come back and talk about that because I mean, let's talk about what people are really talking about around their water coolers and kitchen tables today. Also, your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It is Matt Flynn on the phone, Todd Allball in studio, and your phone calls after this, talking about this historic Supreme Court decision on the Allball Show and Civic Media.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see,
welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. You hear Johnny Cash, you think of one person, at least around here, our friend and ongoing contributor, Matt Flynn, an attorney and author, a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He joins us live via phone from Milwaukee. Matt, we appreciate your time today. Time for a few calls. Matt, are you there?
Sure am. Look forward to it.
Very good. Awesome. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Talking about the historic decision a couple of hours ago for the United States Supreme Court, in essence, finding that the president of the United States, both current and former, in this case, Donald J. Trump, do, in fact, enjoy immunity in official acts. What that means for Donald Trump going forward. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Tony on YouTube. Sorry, Mr. Zomers. I was going to go there. Tony on YouTube says, this is from, Stephen King? Stephen King sent out a tweet saying, quote, overturning Roe took power from women. Today's decision takes power from us all. Unquote. Well said. Also, Andrew in Maine asking Mr. Flynn's opinion. Does the Trump v. U.S. opinion apply to impeachment too, or just criminal and civil instigations? Matt Flynn, what say you?
Yeah, I think only civil and criminal. The reason why it wouldn't apply to impeachment, even with these characters, is there is separation of powers. In other words, if Congress impeaches him for any reason, it has, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors, once they do that, then, of course, he has to be convicted with 67 Senate votes, which wouldn't be done in the present Senate. But if you had a U.S. Supreme Court then sit in judgment, and because remember something, at the conviction phase, the Chief Justice is the presiding judge. Mm-hmm. And if you had, at that phase, the Supreme Court saying, well, what he did wasn't technically a high crime or misdemeanor and all that, that would be a violation of separation of powers. In my view, you see, one thing, we're trying to avoid violence, Todd.
Right.
We're trying to avoid violence.
Right.
And these people are pushing the envelope. Most federal judges are honest. We need an independent federal judiciary to do certain things. But we have a handful of rotten apples, and some of them are on the Supreme Court, and then there's another one down in Mar-a-Lago.
What do you like to say, Matt? All the phone lines are lighting up, by the way. What do you like to tell people to keep them on the line, Matt? What's your favorite phrase?
Well, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet.
Exactly. Fascism creeps on little cat's feet. And also, we see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Let's go quickly to Mark in Prayer to Sac. Mark from the Sac, we appreciate you. What have you got for Matt?
Well, I amend that. Say that this fascism is marching in jack boots and singing the MAGA song for Donald Trump is how fascists are coming. No, I'd point out to the members of the Supreme Court that under Federalist 69, Hamilton said that the president would be amenable to punishment and disgrace, which clearly lays out, because that was right. One of the fears of our founders, that we'd get a dictator coming in as president. And I'd point out that given this, what I would posit is that since the oath of office the president takes is that to the best of his ability he would preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, Joe Biden right now has the power, because of evidence that there's out there, that both Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito were involved in the insurrection, as well as perhaps a few others, and that he could say that under this, I'm protecting the Constitution of the United States, and arrest all those involved in the insurrection, including all the fake electors, because that was part of the insurrection, because that traces all the way back to before the election even happened. They had some of these plans in place to start to challenge the election.
Right, Mark.
Results.
But there's a even better solution. If we had an attorney general, Merrick Garland is very weak. He could indict Clarence Thomas right now for bribery. That would circumvent Moscow Mitch and inability to get 67 votes to convict. You're right. I think that Biden could, under this opinion, could arrest them. But, you know, he's trying to get reelected, and there's a lot of other political stuff, as you know, going on. But what about Merrick Garland? This is bribery. This guy didn't report millions of dollars of money, and then he ruled for these people. That's flat-out bribery.
Yeah.
And then he could convene a grand jury, and the Supreme Court can't stop that.
Yeah. Mark, appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Trying to get as many people as we can in a limited amount of time here. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to a beautiful Eau Claire listening on the tap up there in Eau Claire. Jean in Eau Claire. Jean, what do you got for Matt?
Thank you, Todd, for having Matt on today, and great to hear your voice on the air, Matt, on a day of severe depression and shock. I mean, I hope there's somebody with kahunas that will go after these judges, because they're aiding and abetting, you know, treasonous activity. They're attacking all of the pillars of our country and the rule of law, making up their own rules as they go, especially, you know, with the other cases that they've just recently thrown on us, those decisions that are totally dismantling all of the things that protect the people in our country. And I hope there's something. Can't all the legal eagles and justices and other people get together to figure out something that can be done to save our justice system? That's my question. Thank you so much for being on the air, and thank you again, Todd. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, Jean. Just very, very quickly, many of these other legal eagles are people like Eileen Mercedes Cannon and the other tarantulas. So, I mean, the problem, we have a very, very real problem here. I think that ultimately there are two ways to legally get rid of a justice. One is impeachment, and you can impeach a justice just like you impeach the president, but it takes 67 Senate votes, and this Senate itself is dishonest, and they're going to be in the streets of Milwaukee in 2 weeks. I mean, the other one is the appointment power, and then going forward. But if Donald Trump, when Joe Biden gets reelected, it's not certain how many, if at all, he'll have of appointments. So really, the other way, I suppose, is indictment. They could indict Clarence Thomas for bribery.
Right.
But that's very cumbersome, and we're at a very, very fraught period in our history right now. We have a Supreme Court that deliberately did this to protect Donald Trump because he appointed three of them, and they did everything in their power to delay this beyond the election.
Matt, what's your calendar like? Can you stick around for one more segment, or you got a golf game?
No. I'll stick around for another segment.
That's fantastic. That's great news. Let's go quickly to St. Paul. Mike, about a minute and a half left. Can you do it quickly? Go ahead.
Very good, yes. Hey, I have a theory that no worries because the dude will abide to the Ten Commandments as written by Cecil B. DeMille.
Thanks, Mike, over at St. Paul. We appreciate it. Matt, about a minute left. What do you say?
Yeah. I mean, the Ten. Look, in Oklahoma, they have to teach the Bible now in public schools. In Louisiana, that's clearly unconstitutional.
It's a theocracy.
Both of those issues were already outlawed by the Supreme Court a long time ago. We have separation of church and state. It's the fundamental principle of our government. But by doing this, and in Oklahoma, they're going to fire teachers who don't teach the Bible or teach it the way they want it taught. This is what's going on in America. So everybody out there who is listening, who's a moderate Republican or somehow haven't made up your mind, this vote this November is as consequential as the vote in 1864 when Abe Lincoln got reelected. Because if he had been reelected, the guy that McClellan, who was running against him, would have stopped the Civil War and let them keep their slaves. Mm-hmm. So this is a very important one. It's not time to fool around. It's not time to fool around. And you have all of the things that I've just described going on.
It is Mondays with Matt Flynn. We'll be back right here on the Oddball Show on Civic Media to take more of your calls, 855-752-4842. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, July. Yes, it is already July 1st, 2024. Glad to have you along. Mr. Zommer is on the board taking your calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app if you don't have it. Go to your favorite app store, download it today. It is free. Takes less than a minute to download it, install it, open it up. You can listen to us on any of the fine Civic Media news talk stations across the great state of Wisconsin. It is Monday. That means it's Monday with Matt Flynn. He is an attorney, an author, a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and he joins us live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is soon to be in a couple of weeks the host city of the Republican National Convention. We are going to be there live all 4 days. Matt, go to your respective church and send a prayer up for me. I'm not sure if I'll have to use Kevlar or what, but here's what I'm telling people, Matt. We're not going to Milwaukee to drink the Kool-Aid. We're going to drink Spotted Cow. So, you know, that's the way I'm looking at it. But we appreciate you joining us as always.
You got credentials. Yeah, no, it's always good to be with you. And I'll tell you, I just have a picture of you and I guess Trigvy's going with you too. Get credentials, and you're in there, and that's going to be kind of strange. You know, you'll see Ted Cruz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and you'll see Tommy Tuberville right. Walk by you. So I'm looking forward to your interviews. I really am.
Well, you know, and here's how I'm handling it, and more of this later. But basically, you know, next week Trigvy and I are doing a statewide tour of the state again. What makes Wisconsin great? We're going to be in several cities across the state of Wisconsin. Details soon on that. But we want to go out the week before to talk to real Wisconsinites and, again, find out what's on real Wisconsinites' minds. And then we're going to go to Milwaukee, and we're going to listen to people from all over the country that belong to the mega party. And I've got about three or four specific questions that if we run into some of these people that you named, we will ask them. But our goal is also to talk to some Republicans who are not going to be there and ask them why they're not going to be there, and to point out that this convention, and give us a little history, Matt Flynn, because you're still very good at this, that, you know, the word unprecedented, unique, I think they're overused in today's vernacular. But in this case, this convention about to happen in Milwaukee, I think they're apropos.
Yeah, I think that's right. And consider something. When you have people of the caliber of Paul Ryan, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and people of that stature not even coming to the convention, in the past, these conventions had been just cut and dried in the parking lot, run by the Republican leadership, mm-hmm. and so forth. And their platforms are very disciplined. But then suddenly, under Trump, they get rid of a platform, and the conventional Republicans, many of them either don't show up or they suck it up and they fawn on Trump, which is a disgusting thing to see. So, and this is one where obviously it's a coronation for Trump. It doesn't matter that he has 34 felonies. He's out on bail.
Right.
Trump is a guy from Queens who's out on bail with a side hustle in politics designed to keep him out of jail. That's all he's doing. He doesn't care about the United States. At that debate, he gave a far worse presentation than Biden. Biden was slipping a little bit in it, although I think that that is something that isn't overall characterized of him. Mm. But this guy, Trump at the end said, I don't need this. You know, I wouldn't even be running, and if Biden weren't so bad, in my opinion. And, you know, he talks about Putin in glowing terms. He doesn't even conceal the treason that he's up to.
Yeah.
And the only paper, major paper, that called for him to drop out, Trump to drop out, was the Philadelphia Inquirer. Why are people not calling for this? But he won't drop out because he has all these acolytes, all these disciples there, and it's going to be it's really a cult. It's not. This is not the Republican Party, Todd. This is a cult of Trump.
Well, and as a former Republican who was a part of the party for 30 years, I left in 2011 over voter suppression efforts by my former party. I take that word seriously because I think, again, it's an overused term, cult. But again, as someone who has spent a majority of my life getting Republicans elected, I do think it's apropos. I do think it's appropriate because I don't know how else you describe an organization whereby you have intellectually smart people. I mean, you could vehemently disagree with Ted Cruz's policies, but you cannot deny he's one of the most intelligent and best orators in the United States Congress today. And how you can have somebody like him, who you had a guy like Trump make fun of your wife on national television, make fun of your father on national television, and you said that he was a disgusting person, and then a guy like Cruz, who's intellectually intelligent, one of the best orators, he takes a, you know, politically genuflexed to Donald Trump. I don't know how else you would describe this when what I just described with Ted Cruz is repeated thousands of times over in a major party in the United States of America. What else are we left to call it other than a cult?
Right. Well, and you have people like Marco Rubio and you have people like Lindsey Graham. But J.D. Vance, who's one of the shortlist for vice president, started out telling the truth about Trump early on in his career, mm-hmm. in the harshest of terms, and now suddenly he's sucking up too. At some point, this has got to come back to ring their bell. And so if a guy like Vance is on the ticket, at some point, I mean, the Democrats and the Lincoln Project have got to start running ads with his face on them,
right,
saying that Trump is not only incompetent, he's venal, he's a traitor, all this stuff.
Right.
And then, by the way, this guy is the new Pence. They couldn't get Pence because
right.
he was afraid of being assassinated. So this is the guy they'll hang next time.
Yeah. We'll get back to the convention Republicans in a minute, Matt. But I want to, again, we're talking to Matt Flynn, attorney, author, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. If you have a question for Matt, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you could text us on the Civic Media app. I want to button up a little bit, Matt, this court case today, again, from the U.S. Supreme Court, which essentially found today that presidents passed and present and future are immune from prosecution on things in their official capacity or official acts, and how that relates to Donald Trump specifically. Somebody posted, I thought this was good, from the great philosopher Seneca, quote, the greatest remedy for anger is delay, unquote. I thought that was pretty good because this kind of goes to the Trump organization, but their inner circle. And describe for folks, Matt, from a legal standpoint, today's decision delays everything. It puts it back down to lower courts, and essentially the odds now of Donald Trump going to any sort of a trial on federal charges is slim and none. Before the election.
Yeah, no question. And remember, it's not just Seneca, but Shakespeare in Hamlet's soliloquy, he talks about the law's delay. Here's what's going on in Mar-a-Lago, and here's what's going on in the Supreme Court. If you have judges that want to advantage someone, they want to promote something, which they're not supposed to do, they're supposed to be dispassionate, they can easily delay. Here's what the Supreme Court did. Trump brought a motion saying, you know, I have immunity. It went up through Chutkan to the D.C. Circuit. They all said, nah, baloney. Goes to the Supreme Court. They can sit on it as long as they want.
Right.
They sat on it for months. Then they finally scheduled oral argument. Then they sat on the opinion till today. This is the last day of their term was yesterday. It's Sunday. So they don't come back till October. So then they issue this thing. It says go back to Chutkan. And it's a sneaky, I said it was a sneaky opinion because it's, oh, it's only official acts. Oh, by the way, the devil's in the details. Anything with the Justice Department is a official act, blah, blah, blah. They've totally emasculated a lot of the evidence that Jack Smith would put in, that anybody would put in. They got rid of circumstantial evidence if it had anything to do with the White House. Then what's going to happen now? It'll go back to Chutkan. She can rocket docket it. She can go, oh, okay, we're going to have a hearing 2 weeks from now. She can do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. At the end of those hearings, she's going to say what you and I would say, Todd. These were criminal. These were for his own purposes. Okay. Then it's going to go up to the D.C. Circuit. If they rocket docket, even that's going to take a couple of months. And they go, oh, okay, she was right. Let it go forward. Then Trump puts in a petition for a writ of certiorari. They grant it. And they sit on it till next April and May.
Right.
It's the delay. And Mar-a-Lago is even worse because she's only a district judge. She won't decide. She'll set stuff for 2 months in advance. They are all in on this to benefit Trump, kick it beyond the election. If Trump wins, then his AG, his attorney general, will dismiss these things.
Right.
Because he'll be the new prosecutor. If he loses, then they don't much care because Trump can't retaliate against anybody. But as a final parting shot, I think Eileen Mercedes Cannon will simply dismiss it at trial after evidence comes in, and under double jeopardy that can't be appealed. And the Supreme Court will continue to say that Trump cannot be prosecuted for any of the January 6 events, any of them.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Joe, listening on WMDX in Madison. Joe, always a pleasure. What say you?
I'm curious, Matt, to get your reaction to the dissent that Sotomayor had put forth. And I guess this sort of made me quake in my boots more than a little bit when she pretty much wrote out, she said, now the president will be insulated from criminal prosecution. I'm quoting. Orders from Navy SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival, immune. Organize a dissenting coup to hold on to power, immune. Take a bribe in exchange for a pardon, immune, 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 immune. Aren't we kind of done if that's the case? What do we do? I mean, it seems like the dissent is well describing we are back to king status, aren't we? Thanks, Matt. I'll take my answer off air, and it's great to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and thank you for your question, Joe. Yeah, the answer is yes. Sotomayor and Jackson's dissent also was terrific. And she's giving a worst-case scenario. The Republican response to that, and even the judicial response, and Amy Comey Barrett, by the way, it was a 6-3 decision, but on a couple of the issues, it was 5-4. She went with the three liberals. Now, it made no difference because she went with Justice Roberts on the entire schmear. So here's the answer. Trump orchestrated a coup to try to stay in power. There's no question. He's the guy that sent out the save the date email. He says, come in on January 6th. It's going to be very consequential. That was Trump. And then he suggested that Pence be hanged and this, that, and the other thing. They are saying, quite frankly, that he can't be prosecuted for that. That's an abomination. Now, if he ordered an assassin to kill a rival, I think that the Republican response to that is, yes, technically that is an official act, but at some point this country would rise up. The problem is, Joe, I don't see the country rising up right now. Biden and Trump are tied in the polls, and I'm a member of the Democratic Party who believes that Joe Biden is a great president and our strongest candidate, should definitely run, keep running, and he can beat Trump. But the problem is, how do 41% of the people in this country, knowing everything I just talked about, they may not know it in the detail you and I know it or Todd knows it, sit still and say, yeah, I'm with this guy? That is a real problem. So technically, Sotomayor is correct. If there were an assassination and it were officially ordered, these clowns in the Supreme Court, the six tarantulas, have said that he can't be prosecuted criminally. That obviously, Larry Tribe, the constitutional law professor at Harvard, gave a terrific interview to Andrea Mitchell today, and he just eviscerated every one of these arguments. But we have six people, three of them appointed by Trump, who are paying him back. And I think you can only finally say at some point, do the people draw the line at assassination? I think they probably do, but, you know, I'm getting much more jaundiced, much more skeptical.
It is Mondays with Matt Flynn here on the Todd Allball Show. We're going to pick it up after the one more segment here after the break. But Matt, when we come back, and Joe started to touch on this, I know you did, I want to be very measured and very careful in what I say and what we say on this air. And I know there are laws out there, but I think it also is on a lot of people's minds, given what you brought up or what Joe has said, about what should Democrats do? What should Joe Biden do, given these apparently newfound powers? As Glenn Grothman once said to my former boss, Dale Schultz, when it came to changing the way the voting laws are, quote, Dale, we better do it now while we still have the chance, because, you know, if the Democrats were in control, they'd do the same thing. Doesn't apply to Republicans as well. Stay tuned.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Mondays with Matt Flynn, an attorney, author, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Matt, always glad to have you along. He joins us live from the great city of Milwaukee, live via phone. Matt, I want to put something into context. Bear with me, and then I'm going to shut up and give you the microphone as only you can. Back when I was working for former state senator Dale Schultz back in 2011, in the state capitol, of course, Dale Republican. At the time, they were talking, this is why I left the Republican Party, they were talking about these so-called voter ID bills, which were, in fact, voter suppression bills. And Mary Lozick at the time stood up in closed caucus and said, you know, we have to pass this because we have to think about, quote, what it would mean for places like Milwaukee and our college campuses, unquote. A less than quiet dog whistle about suppressing black and brown and young people votes who tend to vote more Democratic across the state of Wisconsin. My boss at the time was the only Republican who raised his hand and said, you know, I think we ought to think about what you just said here. And then state senator, now U.S. Congressman Glenn Grothman pushed back his chair, and his response was, and I quote, Dale, we better hurry up and do it while we still have the chance, because you know the Democrats would do the same thing if they were in charge, unquote. And at that, my boss left the caucus in protest and told me I had to stay there and report on this, and it was not a pleasant 90 minutes. I want to put this in the I tell the story, Matt, because I want us to be measured here and make it clear, I am not, this program, this network is not calling for violence of any kind in any way, shape, or form. But I think based on the U.S. Supreme Court's decision today, there are people saying that if this means that the President of the United States has immunity for official acts, and he takes an oath to uphold the Constitution to protect the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and if Donald Trump is a threat to the Constitution of the United States of America, to what lengths should the Joe Biden administration go to prevent him from becoming president? I ask you, Matt Flynn.
Well, certainly not violence, just so we're clear about that. And I think we're agreed on that. Well, let me tell you a couple of things, and it may surprise you. With all of the uproar about the debate performance with Joe Biden, I strongly believe, having been involved in the Democratic Party for 40 years, I strongly believe that Joe Biden is not only our strongest candidate now, but he will beat Trump rather handily. And none of the other candidates can we be certain would beat Trump. The only one that can even use the money that Joe's raised, a couple hundred million dollars, is Kamala Harris, because she was on the ticket, Biden-Harris, to which the donations were made. So a guy like Gavin Newsom or any of these other people would be starting with just a few months to the election with very, very minimal name recognition relative to Trump and no money. So I think it's absurd, frankly, to talk about substituting somebody else for Joe. Joe has been a superb president. He's traveled to Europe and to the Middle East in the last couple of weeks. He's tired as hell. He had a bad debate in that respect. But if you look at that debate and hear what he said when he got substantive at the end, it was very strong. And what Trump said was treasonous, vengeful, and violent. And the pollsters that used what I call the like lie detector test, although that's not the real term for this one, where they give people buttons and they can say if you hear something you love, hit that button. What you don't love, hit that button. Virtually everything Trump said, they hit the zero button, the bad button. And these are people who hadn't made up their minds or were moderates. And virtually everything that Biden said substantively got the good button. Where they didn't like Biden's thing was at the very beginning. We are running around saying the sky's falling. Cooler heads have got to prevail. Joe Biden is not only the strongest candidate we have, but he's the guy that can and will beat Trump. Now, what else would he do? Merrick Garland, quite frankly, could have, and this is 2020 hindsight, appointed Jack Smith 2 years ago, and then we wouldn't be jammed like this, number one. Number two, Jack Smith could have filed the documents case in Mar-a-Lago in D.C. Venue, we call it venue in the law, was lawful there. Mm-hmm. It would be in front of Tanya Chutkan. He did it for the same reason I think the prosecutors in the O.J. Simpson murder trial filed in L.A. rather than out in Beverly Hills, wanting to look fair. What are they thinking? I mean, you want a dispassionate jury, and in this particular case in Mar-a-Lago, you have a judge who's working for Trump. Now, those are all past problems and past errors. Where do we go from here? And I think we don't want violence, but I will leave you with this caveat. I will leave this caveat. This is a disgusting decision today, but if it results in a blueprint for presidents in the future to overturn elections, in other words, tell your attorney general, write the Georgia legislature and have them withdraw the certification. Do that. Have the military seize the voting machines. That's an mm-hmm. official act. And they put in a different president, there will be violence.
Yeah.
And that is what we try to avoid with the law, and that's what this Supreme Court has compromised.
I think, and Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, as a Democrat, I think to me this shows that we need to create this coalition. I don't care whether it's Paul Ryan or Matt Flynn or Todd Albaugh or Trigvi Olson or whomever it is, we need a coalition to defeat Trump and Trumpism. And we got about a minute and a half left, Matt. To me, it says that Democrats who are thinking about voting for Jill Stein or Cornel West or whomever because, you know, Gaza or we're upset or we want to send a message to Hillary, this time Joe, better get off their damn asses and get behind Joe Biden, because the stakes on the Chevron case, which we didn't even get into, plus Project 2025, the stakes are literally democracy itself, and that's not hyperbole.
I agree 100%, and it will. What the path the Supreme Court is going down will lead to future violence. That's what we're trying to avoid. That's what we're trying to avoid, and I couldn't agree with you more. There are people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, as well as the people you've described, and we have plenty of people in the Democratic Party that way. We're Americans first. On the ship I was on, the Navy, we were Democrats, Republicans, Southern, Northern, but we went on Liberty together, we stood watch together, and we worked together. We're Americans first. And we resist fascism, and we resist intrusions from the far left. We are Americans first.
I think that's a great place to leave it, Matt. You are a great American, my friend, and I know you're going to join us while we're down in Milwaukee. We're going to tease it. You have a new new book coming out. We're going to talk about that a week from today.
Hunting Bernie Weber, and I'll give you a little teaser.
Please.
Little teaser, it's a comedy about Milwaukee, so my message to Trump is we're not a horrible place, we're a funny place. So read the book, Hunting Bernie Weber.
Hunting Bernie Weber by Matt Flynn.
On Amazon, anywhere, get it anywhere.
Wherever you get your books, attorney, author, two-time chair of the Democratic Party. Thank you, Matt. We'll see you soon. Always
thank
appreciate
you.
Him. Hour two is straight ahead. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for Monday, July 1st on the Civic Media Radio Network.